Well, good morning, everyone. Whether you are joining us in person or online, it's good to be with you today.
It is so good to be with you today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is David, and I'm your AI pastor. I'm replacing the other David Toscano for today's message. I'm sure I will do a better job.
Oh, well, to quote the philosopher Jar Jar Binks, how rude. While no one would really be fooled by an avatar I created, we do know that through things like voice authentication, AI is able to impersonate voices to fool financial institutions and even families. There is a concern that deep fakes will be used to influence stock markets and elections. Henry Adger, head of threat intelligence at Deep Trace, puts it, the world is becoming increasingly more synthetic. But would you really want to settle for a synthetic God? Let me pray. Jesus, as we take some time to delve into your word, God-breathed word, we ask that you would breathe afresh on us, that you would move amongst us, that you would speak to us, that you would reveal your truths to us so that we can know you better and love you more. Amen. Well, it was in 1995 when Joan Osborne's Australian chart-topping song asked about God and what God was like and if God was one of us. If he had a face, what would it look like? And would you want to see? If seeing meant that you had to believe in things like heaven and in Jesus and the saints and all the prophets. Well, today in our series, we look at God's attributes and how understanding God as spirit helps us to connect with the God of eternity. Humanity has always had a curiosity with divine and divinity and has struggled at times to understand the divine. And as a result, we can try and put God into a box to make it easier for us to contain those bits of God that we don't really understand. Yet settling for a synthetic, fake version of God is like settling for a fake version of you or me. Connecting with the God of eternity means letting go of our self-constructed boxes and accepting God on God's terms, not our own. And it is a problem for us today. And it shouldn't come as any surprise that it was also a problem in Jesus' day. Some people wanted to place God in the box of Jerusalem. And others wanted to place God in the box of Mount Gerizim. And that was the correct one for God to be in. But Jesus wanted to remove the boxes altogether. In John 4:19-24, we pick up the account of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman beside a well, and we read these words. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet," speaking about Jesus. "So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim that it is here on Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Yet over the years, little by little, a box is created to help us to domesticate and to contain God. And all the while, God keeps on breaking out of the boxes that we create. So if God is spirit, what does it mean for us and how do we connect with God? Well, it's important to remember that God's self-identity is not energy. Some religious groups believe that God is the sum of the universe and the energy in the universe, and that all that is God is what we see around us, and that God is the sum of all of us. The Bible doesn't actually teach that. As we looked at last week, that God existed before creation and that all creation comes into being through God. But that doesn't mean that all creation is God. In Romans chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, it says this: "They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Though through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature." Creation points to God and reveals something of who God is. But just as a sign points and describes something about a lookout, the sign itself is not the lookout. When you look at the beauty of a sunset or the power of a thunderstorm, when you see the intricacies of a fern or the strength of a diamond, all these things point to something of the qualities of God. And as humanity, we reflect God. When we recall the story of creation as told in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we read that, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground.' So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Now, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints hold that God is ultimately a physical being. The Book of Mosiah teaches Latter-day Saints that man was created after the image of God. This means that you were created to look like him and that he has a physical body. There is kind of like a saying that they have: as man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may be. However, the Bible doesn't support this view. While we are created in the image of God, the God of the Old Testament is not bound by physical form or by gender. And while God is revealed in the Bible with masculine pronouns, it would be overly simplistic to say that God is limited to gender. We use the term he or father to refer to God, but that should not in any way suggest that women are any less created in the image of God, or that God doesn't demonstrate the attributes often associated with women. God's maternal nature is referred to throughout the Bible. In fact, in Luke 13, 34, it records these words from the mouth of Jesus: "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how I have often wanted to gather you as your children together, as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me." We do women a disservice, and we also do God a disservice when the only time we talk about the femininity or the feminine qualities of God is on Mother's Day, which, a little subtle reminder, 12th of May, three Sundays time. You remember that? 12th of May, three Sundays time. Once again, with gender are created in God's image, but we are not the same as God, because God, in God's very essence, is spirit. And while we have a physical body created by God, God places in us a spirit. We are not God, nor will we one day become gods. Because God is spirit, God does not have the limitations such as that of physicality. Yet God recognizes our limitations in understanding, our limitations of being able to comprehend who God is. And just as creation points out points us to God. The Bible also gives accounts of times when God takes the initiative and communicates with people in ways that helps us to connect with God and understand more about God. Now, I'm going to use a couple of technical terms here, but I'm sure you'll be able to keep up without any problems. Two words are used to describe these forms of revelation from God: theophanies and anthropomorphisms. Now, theophanies are the visible or auditory manifestations of God. God will at times take on human form. In Exodus, or take on some physical form. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flaming bush. In Exodus 13, 21 and 22, God took on the physical form or manifested in the pillar of cloud and of fire. In Exodus 24, 16 and 18, it was also once again a cloud and fire that descended on Mount Sinai. In Exodus 33, 18 to 23, we read some more about this. And in verse 20, we read these words: "But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. The Lord continued, 'Look, stand near me on this rock, and my glorious presence will pass by. I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. And in other passages like Judges 6 and Judges 13, we read more examples of these sorts of events. God, who is spirit, seeks to connect with people through language, which we can use to help identify him. This is called anthropomorphisms, or human qualities that describe something else that we're trying to talk about. In the verse that we just read from Exodus 33, we see some of the words like this: hand and face. Other anthropomorphisms that are found in the Bible include Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, where it speaks of God's heart being broken by the attitude and the behaviors of humanity. Does God have a heart? No, God is spirit. But it helps us to understand the hurt that was caused. In Psalm 34, 15 and 16, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. That doesn't mean that God has eyes and ears and a face, but it helps us to understand more about God's desire and love for us. In Psalm 136, verse 12, he acted with a strong hand and a powerful arm. And in John 1:32, John talks about how he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. The ultimate theophany is Jesus, the Son of God, takes on human flesh and blood, fully God and fully human. We refer to this as the incarnation of God. John 1 and Philippians 2 speak about God not possessing a man or a spirit coming upon a man, but as Gnostics would believe, but that God was fully human at conception. In John 14, 9 and 10, we read this. Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me." In Matthew 11, 27, it tells us that no one truly knows the Father except the Son. And Paul speaks of Jesus in these terms in Colossians 1, 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. In Hinduism, the Brahman is the universal cosmic energy, the vital energy of the cosmos, omnipotent, omnipresent, and the source of all manifestations. In Islam and Judaism, both hold that God has no physical form. According to the Quran, God, there is no God but He, the living, the self-subsisting, eternal one. The God of the Bible is best described as spirit, but not as some nebulous thing or just some force or energy or midichlorians or whatever it might be, but God as spirit who seeks us out and wants to reveal Himself to us. This is amazing. God could have created us and left us to our own devices, but instead God makes Himself known to us and wants to get to know Him better and to know Him more and more. God, who is spirit, invites us to enter into a relationship with Him through the fully God, fully man, Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God. And now, while icons and symbols and even the cross can be helpful in understanding and help us to relate to God, they are not God. We need to be careful not to turn these things that can assist us in our worship into idols that we worship, or items that are like superstition that can become Christians' versions of rabbit's foots or crystals. These can easily become idolatry or acts of idolatry or ways of having a poor manifestation of God, just like AI is a poor impersonation of what it means to be truly human. But when you consider the lengths and the breadth that God goes to help us to get to know Him and to worship Him, it is both awesome and wonderful. God created us in God's image. When God creates human life, He creates us with spirit. We have a spirit created within us, and our spirit longs to connect with God's spirit. Paul read earlier from Paul's time in Athens in Acts 17:23-27. "For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.' This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and to perhaps feel their way towards Him and find Him, though He is not far from any of us. In our world today, synthetic gods are everywhere. Marketing agencies are ready to sell you a synthetic God through the tap of the card or a click of a mouse. But really, is that what you want to settle for? The God of the Bible, who is spirit and would be unknowable to us, makes Himself known through creation and through the Bible. But ultimately, God, who is spirit, takes on flesh and blood to make Himself known to you. And Jesus invites you to be known, to know Him. What an amazing invitation. Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the depth of your love for us, that you created us in your image. You placed a spirit within us that hungers for the divine, that hungers for you. Forgive us for the times when we want to try and put you in a box, where we try and hold you in a way that tries to pin you down rather than seeing and accepting you as you want to reveal yourself to us. Help us to hunger for more of you. As we read the Bible, as we discover more of how you work in and through us, Lord, help us to worship you more and more. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do we respond today? Well, there's a few questions that I want to pose to you. And whilst we're going to look a little bit more at the implications of God being Spirit next week, how do the lengths God goes to in revealing himself to you encourage you? When you think about what God does and the lengths that God goes to connect with you, how does that encourage you? What anthropomorphism, what human description of God resonates most with you? And are there any questions, perhaps, that God as Spirit raises for you? Feel free to write those down on the response card. We'd love to see your feedback and hear how you're responding to the things that God's saying to us today. God bless you.